Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. This is Kyle Porter. This is our ninth episode of the fall. Carson Cunningham will be joining me in just a second. Wanted to let you know we are still looking for an advertiser. I know some of you are probably getting tired of hearing that, but it'll make it a lot easier to produce and to put this podcast out there if we have an advertiser, a title sponsor for the podcast. So if you need more information on that, pistolsfiringblog@gmail.com, we can hook you up with that. And let's get to today's podcast.
Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast, where Oklahoma State is now 5-0 after beating Kansas State. I'm Carson Cunningham. You can follow me at Twitter at @KOCOCarson. Kyle, I'm giving my Twitter handle whether you like it or not. Joining me is Kyle Porter, the publisher, founder of pistolsfiringblog.com. Kyle, how are you, man?
Hashtag expand the brand.
Hashtag marketing, hashtag do it yourself. Someone's got to do it, right?
I'm doing good. I'm preparing. I'm actually loading up on this is a free plug for one of my sponsors. I'm loading up on Hoboken Coffee for the President's Cup this week. President's Cup this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It starts at I think 9 p.m. our time. So I'm basically not gonna sleep between now and next Monday probably.
See, I'm a night owl, so I love those late broadcasts. I loved when the U.S. Open was on until like dark. It was beautiful. I love it.
My Saturday night looks like Oklahoma State, 6 o'clock, final round of the President's Cup. The singles matches start at like 10. So basically from 6 until 6 a.m. on Sunday,
need an IV of Hoboken coffee for that.
Yeah, I will. Definitely.
Did you read the comment on your blog where the lady said, that's why you're a golf writer and not the OSU football coach? I don't ever read the comments, but that one I actually did read.
I didn't see that. What post?
I'm glad she let you know that you write about golf for a living and not the head coach of Oklahoma State.
What was it about? Like, what was it in reference to?
Oh, I think it was the run pass discussion. She's offense.
Well, I wasn't like, saying something definitive? I mean,
no, you were just kind of laying it all out there. That's why you don't read the comments anyway. I've already given that way too much attention.
That's amazing.
What was your thoughts on the K-State game?
It was exciting. I don't know, you know. I thought it was really interesting to see Mike and Mike get their hand forced. And get their hand forced and have to let Rudolph throw it 60 times, you know, and it wasn't great. I mean, I thought Rudolph was really good, but I think it sort of proved that you do have to – you got to be average running the ball. And – they ran more Jalen McCleskey reverses than they did regular running plays in the first half. And I credit them for that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's where the running game is at right now. And it's not great. And I feel like for as good as the defense was in the second half, and it was really, really good, that's why they won the game in the second half, it was pretty bad in the first half. And they've gotten a lot of credit, but people kind of aren't talking about the fact that they gave up 5 touchdowns to a Kansas State team that was on its 5th-string quarterback. So, you know, they're 5-0, but it hadn't been pretty so far.
I did like the creativity on offense. I mean, that to me is how you're going to be able to run the ball at all, is if you have to have the defense worried about reverses, stuff on the outside. That's the only way you're going to be able to run up the middle. And I thought they did a lot of things that you and I were asking for, in that just being creative. Don't just line up in a power formation and run it up the middle.
Yeah.
So I thought they called a good – I thought Yursich or Mike and Mike, sorry, called a really good game. And I hear you on the I don't want to beat up the defense too bad because, I mean, yes, it's Kansas State. They're not that great of an offense. But they were kind of throwing a curveball there with the quarterback getting hurt and this guy that no one's ever heard of playing quarterback and running around. And he actually made – I thought he made plays. I didn't think there was more of the defense screwing up as much as it was. That guy played pretty well. But during the game, I had the thought, Kyle, could Bill Snyder play Phil Forte at quarterback and still score touchdowns? I feel like he could.
I thought the best comment – I can't remember. Oh, it was Josh – I can't remember his last name. Latvian Missile on Twitter.
Koppelman. From the Sports Animal.
From the Sports Animal. That's embarrassing that I couldn't remember his last name. He's probably going to hear that.
He's just the Latvian Missile now. I think he prefers that, actually.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great Twitter handle. But he said that, I think it was him that said he thinks every player on Kansas State's roster could play quarterback for Bill Snyder. I thought that was the perfect description of both Kansas State and Bill Snyder and also their quarterback position, because it's like they just run random white guys out there, you know, in the post who was the guy, L. Roberson era. Mm-hmm. It's just all these random white dudes that are kind of
like Colin Klein almost won the Heisman and he couldn't throw a forward pass. I mean, you feel like he could take a defensive end and play him at quarterback and just run the Colin Klein offense.
Yeah, it really is true. And I see what you're saying. It did feel like that Cook, the receiver that was playing quarterback, sort of went into the locker room at halftime and was like, oh, crap,
What just happened?
I got an 8-point lead on the road. What should I be doing this? And then
he's like, guys, what happened in the first half? I blacked out. I had no idea what happened. I played out of my mind.
And then it fell apart in the second half, which is sort of what I expected from him all along.
Well, and that to me is a good sign of a good defense. One that you get thrown a curveball in the first half and you make all the adjustments necessary. I mean, they shut them down in the second half. So to me, that's the encouraging sign, is even when the defense doesn't play as well at halftime. I just remember all those years, you know, OSU was good at football. The halftime adjustments were always on point, like with Munkin or Holgorsen.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see it on the defensive side now with Glenn Spencer. Like, you were always relieved when it got to halftime because you knew they were going to make some big-time adjustments. And that's what they did against Kansas State, I thought, at least on the defensive side of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, I thought it was interesting that Yurcich said after the game, or he might have said it on Monday in the on the media day, the wide receivers are the strength of the team. And I don't think he's realizing that. I think he knew that.
I hope so.
But it was nice to see them utilize them properly. You know, you're not throwing fades to David Glidden. You are, you know, throwing it up for Brandon Shepherd and Marcel Aitman to go get it, throwing short passes to Austin Hayes and Glidden. I mean, it just felt like they really had a rhythm and they were in sync. Rudolph was in sync with all of his receivers.
Well, and I think that's where Rudolph really shines. I mean, they're completing or converting rather 49% of their third downs, and I would be willing to bet almost all of those are passes. And doesn't it feel like when Rudolph drops back in those situations, like, he's going to find an open guy almost every time? Like, doesn't it feel that way?
Like, well, and that's what he said after the Texas game. He said, I feel like I made all the right decisions. I just made bad throws. And right. So that's
And I think that's where you and I are coming from, in that, you know, we don't want him to just completely, like, ban handing the football off and running the ball. But that, to me, is where the offense really starts firing on all cylinders, when Rudolph's dropping back and has four or even five options to throw to, and he can just decide which guy's open. Like, that to me, it feels like they can go up and down the field doing that. Like, their 2-minute offense, for instance, on the winning drive. Like, shouldn't that be their offense? Just spread it out and let Rudolph go to who he wants. I mean, well, I know
and
Gundy can't abandon the running game, but that's where you and I are coming from.
Gundy said that. This was a strange quote. He said it on Monday. He said, you know, I know fans want us to throw it. I see fans. I feel like he's just, like, talking directly to me. I see fans want us to throw it 60 times a game. And, you know, maybe we could do that if we had a veteran quarterback who had played 20 games and an offensive line that was really good at pass protection. And I was like, that's kind of what you have. Like, I know that Rudolph hasn't played 20 games, but he plays like a veteran. And your offensive line is pretty good at pass protection. Like, they've been horrific at run blocking. But in terms of, you know, they haven't been great. Like, they haven't been, you know, Rudolph. People were in Rudolph's face at times on Saturday. But they've certainly been better at that than they have at run blocking.
Absolutely. And even the final drive, they did run the ball. And I think that's where I'm coming from, in that it's more spread out. They actually ran the ball decently well in the last drive. So yeah. It's more so the style than the number of carries versus number of throws. And speaking of, can I be the charter member of the fan club of Reite?
He's awesome.
Should he play more?
I mean, did you see the touchdown he had?
Yeah, he like forearm shivered a guy.
Yeah, Like the second effort, it was just like, this guy's our fourth string.
He was like Dalton on Roadhouse. He was just shucking guys off from left and right.
He was great. I mean, I say great. He was great for a four-string guy, and he was pretty good for what Oklahoma State's had so far this year.
I thought he made people miss. I thought he got extra yards that previous backs had not really gotten. Now, if Chris Carson's healthy, I think he's your guy, but I'd like to see Taylor play a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be against it.
OSU has a history of walk-ons playing pretty well for him, and he could be the next one, you know?
Do you think that Bill Snyder's ever contacted the NCAA and tried to, like, give scholarships back because he just plays walk-ons all the time? Like just tried to trade in scholarships for something else? Like, more practice time or something?
I'm pretty sure that Canatelli kicker had his taken away for sure, right? When he missed all those kicks against Auburn. I noticed he played against OSU because even their kicker was hurt for K-State.
Yeah, their kicker got hurt in the, I think, in the UTSA game.
So, yeah, I do think he sacrifices the scholarships. I think he just has a fireplace next to his desk and just chunks them in there.
I saw a great stat for that K-State Auburn game that you were talking about last year. Auburn had like 50 four- and five-star guys. And 50? It was something like – over the course of, you know, 4 years of recruiting, it was something absurd. And Kansas State had like one.
Even that seems high. Maybe a JUCO five-star.
But, I don't know. It was
let me ask you this. Who's the best receiver on the team? If you had to pick one guy.
It's a good question. I think, like, pure receiver, probably Brandon Shepherd.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the most talented. I think I've been saying this for 3 years. I think Marcel Aitman's the most talented, but I think Shepard's probably the best receiver. What do you think?
Aitman's the name I wrote down, but I wrote Aitman ... drops. Doesn't he have a lot of drops this year?
He's got a lot of drops always. I mean, he's
very inconsistent.
There was a third down that he caught a ball on the sideline, and there was a review of it on whether or not he got in. It was a great catch. It was a really good catch on the sideline. He tapped a foot, got in, and it was, you know, it was awesome. Next play, sort of running like a drag over the middle, Rudolph puts it on his hands, and he drops it. And I was like, that's Marcel Aitman's career in like 30 seconds, you know?
Him and David Glidden are like the inverse of each other. Like, Glidden has none of the physical attributes but catches everything and does everything right, as Gundy would say. And Aitman's the physical monster that you wish was more consistent. I think my mind changes every time. I want to say James Washington about every other game, but I think Shepherd is the number one guy.
Yeah, I think get him going. I think so, too. Washington is
Washington, he's fun to watch.
He just seems like an athlete that, like, ended up at receiver.
Yeah, for sure. Like, did you see the story about him, how he picked, like, he just went out for the tennis team because they needed a player?
Yeah, that was great.
And he ended up winning state. Like, I know he played in small town Texas, but.
Yeah, but still.
That's freakish, you know? You can't just pick up tennis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like picking up golf or something.
And I love that he wears, like, number 28, so it really seems like he just walked out there as receiver, like, unknowingly. He was a running back that just started lining up at receiver.
He was great. They had 200-yard receivers in the same game for the first time since 2012.
Is that right?
Yeah, wow. Hadn't happened since then. I was looking back. I think it was only the 12th time it's ever happened, and seven of them were like some combination of Blackman and somebody else.
Yeah, Blackman and Tracy Moore basically is it.
It was like Blackman, Tracy Moore, Blackman, Josh Cooper, and there was Blackman and one other somebody else. I can't remember.
Colton Shelf, Yestable.
Blake Jackson was on that list.
I forgot about him.
It was like Blake Jackson and Josh Stewart combined. I think that was the last time it happened. It was those two combined for they both had 100-yard receiving games.
That's an impressive stat. I didn't realize that.
I go deep on the stats.
But just to go to further illustrate the running game, you know, I was in Norman last weekend for the West Virginia game, and OU ran the ball for 107 yards on 33 carries. Like, they couldn't run the ball against West Virginia. So it's not just an OSU problem. You know, even OU with the two freaks they have at running back, they have a new offensive line, so they can't run the ball. So you at least have to keep them honest, I guess, because they did have 100 yards, whereas OSU had 27, or they had 49 yards, actually.
Well,
it's proven that you don't have to run it for 200 yards every game.
Well, and the other thing is that the running – somebody pointed this out. I can't remember who it was, but the running backs for OSU actually ran the ball pretty decently. You had – I think Rudolph had negative 27 yards and Walsh had like negative 10 or something like that. So if you – and some of those, I guess, are probably on sacks. But if you look at just the running backs, they actually didn't run it that badly. I thought it was interesting that Gundy on Monday finally conceded just – he was like, we got to figure out how to get 150 yards a game. And I think he's right about, like, the days of running it for 5 yards a carry, 5.5 yards a carry, it's not going to happen. I mean, that was a Joseph Randall plus an amazing offensive line thing. And – you know, you look back at 2013, I was looking at it, that team only averaged 4.4 yards a carry. That's not that good. And they went 10-2. Mm-hmm. And so I'm with you. I don't think they have to be great, but I mean, you certainly have to run it for more than 50 yards a game.
And it's, and not to beat a dead horse, for me, it's all the style in which they do it. I remember the West Virginia game last time they played over there. They're going to get beat if they try and run the ball like that, you know, right up the middle. The way they, you know, stack the line with 8 men in the box, like, you're gonna have to be a little more creative, like they were against Kansas State for sure.
How important do you think it is? I mean, obviously it's important, but how important is it to be a team that I think we can both agree Oklahoma State's very flawed, but to be a team that you kind of not luck your way into, but you win 2 games and get to 5-0. That maybe you shouldn't have won. How important is it to a young team like that just to be 5-0 and to be ranked like in the top 20?
I think it helps to an extent. You know, you could be Texas right now instead. It's a much better scenario than being them. But it does give me a little bit of deja vu from last year when they started unbeaten. And we could all kind of tell they had some flaws. You know what I mean? I'm a little concerned that it's going to be like last year where they start 5-0 and then the rails come off in November when they start playing people. Do you agree with that at all?
Well, the difference is you have a much better quarterback this year. But I think, well, you know, I still look back at last year, and I'm not totally sure it was all Dax Garmon's fault. I mean, it wasn't all Dax Garmon's fault. It was a bad offensive line. I mean, that Texas game in November, that was
Like they weren't competitive. No. Now I think OSU will be obviously competitive this time around, but there were games where they walked in there with no chance to win, really. And the Texas game especially felt that way. They couldn't move the ball at all.
Yeah. I go back and forth between this being like 2013 and this being like 2014. And I want it to be more like 2013, I think. But I think the reality is it's probably more like 2014. And you know, like we've talked about multiple times on here, it's at best a 8 or 9 win team.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But we'll find out a lot in Morgantown this week.
What did you think about West Virginia and Norman? Did they impress you?
Yes and no. I thought their quarterback was awful, Skylar Howard. Like, the OU defense did make him look bad. Like, they picked him off, and they played well. The OU defense deserves credit. They played well. But his first two possessions, he missed guys that were wide open, overthrew them. I didn't think he looked good at all. And that really... it really was a difference. The guy turned it over 5 times. You know, you're not going to win a game when that happens. So, like, West Virginia did make it a game in the third quarter. It was a 3-point game. But I was more so impressed with OU, with Baker Mayfield, man. That's one of the best secondaries in the league. And he shredded them.
Yeah.
So I came away more impressed with Baker Mayfield and them and OU rather than what that was West Virginia. I was kind of down on West Virginia after that game, and it's hard because you want to give OU credit for making them look bad, you know what I mean? But I was not impressed with their quarterback at all, which of course means he's going to throw for 400 yards against OSU.
Did you, by the way, Baker Mayfield, first team all bro?
Oh, dude, he's the captain, leader of he's first man out of the tunnel. Dude, you should have seen, post game, he was rocking like a leather jacket with a hoodie and a hat. He just looked like the coolest dude in the room. I'm not going to lie. He looked awesome. He was great. I could not have been more wrong about him. I did not think he was going to be that great at all.
He's a baller.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, he's a baller.
Mainly, I thought he was just tiny. Like all the pictures I saw. Like remember that picture he was with Garmin and Rudolph? Yeah. Like he looked like a water boy for those guys. But he's been great, and he's proven me wrong so far, man. And we got long ways to go, but he's been awesome.
He was on Dan Patrick after the Tennessee game, and one of the guys on there said, oh, "He's all American, bro." Like first team All-American.
Well, I've heard stories about him in that like the guy has like the most irrational confidence. Like and you can see that in how he's gotten as far as he has. Like you have to have that if you're a 5'11" quarterback playing at OU. Like he has irrational confidence.
Yeah. He is the who's the NBA guy that Simmons always talks about? That's the irrational confidence guy, like a
J.R. Smith,
like a J.R. Smith. Yeah, like just thinks he's even like Deion Waiters, like thinks he's the best player on the planet. And you're like, you're probably actually not that good, but the fact that you think that makes you better than you are.
It's got him to this point.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I read something interesting. I can't remember who said it. I think it might have been Gundy, that West Virginia is not really running the same offense that Dana ran when he was at Oklahoma State. Did you notice that, or did they still spread it out a lot?
They spread it out quite a bit still, but it's more of the diamond formation run game. Like they ran it. He's been running it, I guess, this year 60% of the time.
Wow,
which is exact opposite of what OSU should be doing now. But it's you could tell. I think he knows his quarterback is limited throwing it down the field. I think after the game he said, you know, we knew against OU we were going to be in trouble if we had to start pushing it a little too far down the field. That's why we had a game plan to stay short. And he was right. Every time he threw it downfield, it was intercepted pretty much. But it's definitely different because the strength of the team's running the football. They have two really good running backs, good offensive line, and they had way more success running the football. I even saw people on Twitter, a couple West Virginia people I follow, just saying, stop throwing the ball at all. Just run it. Just like opposite of what OSU fans are saying right now.
That's funny. Uniforms?
I've got the shifter on cruise control. It's just solid. Just, you know, kicking my feet up. That's basically how I feel about the uniforms. Everything's solid. It's fine.
Likes football, loves his family.
It's we're on cruise control, Kyle. I mean, they look good. They haven't taken any risks. Been very safe. Just they put the cruise control on like 73 or 74. That way they don't get a ticket. You know, they're speeding a little bit, but they're not going to get a ticket.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at with the uniforms. What say you?
I've still undefeated this year. They've been awesome.
I like K-State's roads. I like K-State's uniforms.
Oh, no. Up against Oklahoma State's on Saturday?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Kansas State's uniforms look like the way their offense plays.
They're classic. They look like the Dallas Cowboys uniforms, just with a K-State logo.
Yeah, they're fine. I don't know.
Yeah, I like their homes better, so I'll give OSU the nod there. I don't know. I don't like the Pistol Pete helmet. Never have.
Yeah. Well, the problem is the brand and the Bronco Rider are both just way better. Like, I don't know that Pistol Pete is terrible. It's kind of growing on me. I'm kind of with Justin Southwell.
I like the oversized Pete that's on the chrome one.
See, I don't like that.
You don't like that at all?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. But you like the smaller one better?
Yeah.
The one from Chris's University Spirit? the bumper sticker?
It looks like that on the orange helmets for sure. It's,
the orange one is, it's on people's binders. They still have binders? I haven't been in college a while. Do we still have binders or no?
What was the planner thing that they handed out at the beginning of every year?
Oh, gosh. Not agenda.
No. It was, you know what I'm talking about. It had a name that didn't fit it. It was very strange.
I wanted to say bursar, and I know that's not right. No, I'm just throwing out college terms. Syllabus. No, that's what you get with a teacher. Oh, we should probably move on before I really date myself here.
I'll tweet that out. Maybe we'll have an answer by the end of the podcast.
Please do.
Did you see, speaking of uniforms, did you see Oregon, their Lewis and Clark uniforms?
Yes, I did.
Are you out? I'm in.
I... I don't know. I'm still formulating an opinion. Because part of me is like, Carson, you can't just like whatever they put on a helmet just because it's Oregon. I don't want to be unfair. But at this point, I feel like they could put Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck on the helmets, and I would love it.
They do put Donald Duck on the helmets.
Well, yeah, they do. But, like, I mean, like, with like holding hands with Mickey as well. You know, just make it – put something – I'm just coming up with ideas. Just something ridiculous. Put, you know, Marcus Mariota's face on the helmet. And I probably would like it, but I don't want to just unabashedly like everything they do. But they looked great. They looked awesome, I have to say. I just don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to just like everything. But
it is hard because it's like, would we, and people have accused me of, the, I don't know about accuse, they've called me out on this before. Would we like Oregon's stuff as much if it had an Adidas logo?
Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so there is like a, I mean, there's an inherent bias there.
There is. And there's an inherent bias just with Oregon because they're kind of the innovators. They're kind of the trendsetters. So, like, whatever they do is probably going to get positive reviews. That's where I was coming from. I wanted to look at it objectively, but it was really hard.
By the way, is it called a mortarboard?
I think that sounds right, yeah. Why in the world were those called a mortar? It's not even a board.
And it's not made of mortar, certainly.
It's a little book. they overthought that one.
How pleased are you for Texas's sake that they are apparently not going to Under Armour?
It's probably the one good thing that's happened to them since Mac Brown got fired, isn't it? I mean, that really would have been like the cherry on top for Texas just falling by the wayside if they had gone Under Armour. I was a little worried seeing Matthew McConaughey rocking an Under Armour polo. I was like, you tweeted at me. I was like, man, that might be a sign. Like, McConaughey's got inside info. He's already rocking the Under Armour.
Speaking of McConaughey, how about that? You were right, by the way, about his dad bod for the he was rocking it for a film that he's doing.
Yeah, I saw that. I tweeted out an article about it if you want to read it, people that are listening. But it had to be a movie role. Like, he's always in shape.
Yeah. Well, he's got a kid now, and I don't know. I mean, stuff happens.
He has a supermodel wife. They don't allow you to get dad bod. If you're married to a supermodel, you got to keep it, you know, respectable. You can't just let yourself go, even if you are Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
So I felt a little comfort in that. The coolest man alive was doing it for, you know, work purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. Must be nice. What else you want to talk about?
Oh, Dana hologram. Did you see that last night?
I woke up to something about that, and I didn't look into it. What happened?
Oh, the singer from Two Live Crew, that's like the Miami booster, tweeted out his candidates for the Miami job, and he said, like, oh, let me pull it up here. He called Dana hologram. Like, didn't know he misspelled his name. He put, like, Chip Kelly, Dana hologram, the coach at Oregon State, I guess. Here, I'll pull up the tweet here. Here's my top five for the U job. Butch Davis, Mario Cristobal, Gary Peterson, Dana hologram.
Did he mean Gary Patterson?
Maybe. Isn't there a Gary Peterson coach in Oregon State, the guy that came from Wisconsin?
Oh.
Could be wrong.
I don't.
And Pep Hamilton. I think that's the Colts offensive coordinator.
That's amazing.
Greg Peterson is the coach at... Oh, this is not the one I was thinking of. Wikipedia gives me like 10 Greg Petersons. It's not that important. But yeah, Dana hologram, so all the Photoshops were out and stuff. And
that's great.
It's always fun to see OSU go up against Dana for old time's sake.
Yeah,
they ran a flea flicker in his honor.
Yeah, they did. That was great. Yeah, I'm excited about some of his quotes this week. My wife asked me the other day if he was still living in a hotel, and he's not.
He has a house. Yeah,
he built that nice house in Morgantown. Good for him. Anything else? Any other teams around the country? Is anybody good? Like, are there any good college football teams?
I think this is one of those years, like the year that LSU made the championship game with two losses.
That was when they beat OU, isn't it?
No, they beat Ohio State. Ohio State, I think, had two losses as well, or maybe just one. But they beat Ohio State, and that was when Ohio State couldn't win a BCS game.
Okay.
To save their lives.
Yeah.
They beat OU when they had Nick Saban.
Yeah, you're right. It was like 03 or 04 or something like that.
I think Baylor's pretty good. Did you watch what they did to Tech?
Yeah, it's terrifying. I was talking to a Baylor friend about that, and I asked him. I said, does Seth Russell ever get hit? And he's like, no. Like, he does not get hit. Like, have they been sacked this year?
They have a really good offensive line, which that's obviously the difference between them and OSU.
And not only that, but he gets rid of the ball so quickly. Like, he knows where he's going with it. The receivers are awesome. That streak of Baylor losing in Stillwater, that's going to be that's kind of looking like it's going to be on the ropes this year.
If they lose this year and get dominated, like, they just might want to just quit playing OSU, just refuse to go to Stillwater. Just say, we'll pay you whatever you want, Boone and Mike Holder. We'll meet you in Dallas. We don't want to go to Stillwater anymore.
Yeah, that would be a real thing if it happens this year.
And we mentioned in previous podcasts, like, not everyone or hardly anybody, I guess, runs Baylor's offense. Wouldn't you just copy them? Like, just egregiously just copy everything they do?
Yeah, I think the problem is it probably takes quite a while to implement it, and you got to have a pretty good offensive line to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have a quarterback who – I mean, there's a lot of things that, like why does Texas not copy that? I mean, is there a – it's not like it could get worse at this point, you know?
Well, Texas doesn't know what they're doing.
Well, and they don't have the personnel. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can't copy it with the quarterbacks they have, so
– Did you know that Baylor ran the ball 54 times, only threw it 42?
Against Tech?
Mm-hmm.
They ran 100 and – what is that? I've not shown a great I haven't shown off my math skills on this podcast, so I don't want to add that up and it be just completely what is that, 97 plays?
We need to have 96? Like, we need to have Dave Hudson on line one to do our math for us.
We need to have him on a podcast.
They ran for 255 yards. Like, so they're not just airing it out. They can run the ball. I think that's where Gundy comes from with
his
hard-headedness.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you're spreading it out and when you've got Corey Coleman and Katie Cannon. I mean, that's
Shock Linwood.
That's Oklahoma State circa 2010. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. What'd you think of Whedon on Sunday night?
I thought he did well. I mean, there are times where he's not very great in the pocket when guys are around him. I thought he struggled there, but chips were down. He's inside his own 10-yard line, game on the line. He knows if he doesn't probably go down and lead him to score here, he's losing his job. And he marches right down the field, bang, 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 throws a great pass to Terrence Williams, who made a better catch. And, like, you tweeted it out, like, it's amazing when you put him in a position to succeed, he can succeed. So I would like to see him put him in better situations where he's more comfortable, because he's not a under-center type quarterback.
Yeah, why are they trying to force that? I don't get that.
Because they have a great offensive line, a good running game, I guess. But when your offense is struggling, why not try it for a series? You know what I mean? It's just the NFL is just so hard-headed when it comes to their style and systems. Like, remember when RG3 was rolling for Washington? They were running Baylor's offense.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with that? Like more recently, NFL teams have started using more college-type systems and formations. I think Whedon should be allowed to go out of the shotgun a lot more than he does.
Yeah, I agree.
But I thought he delivered when they absolutely had to have it.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see.
That was big time.
I was just thinking
all about the pressure and he was losing his job next week if they don't go down and score.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, for him, like, he and we've talked about this both on this podcast and just in real life, but, like, it's a pretty cool thing to say you're the backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys and, like, playing games and tying games. I mean, that's, like, a huge deal in the sports world. And I think I forget about it because, like, he went to Oklahoma State. So I kind of always view him as, like, this dude that played football at Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. But he's, like, quarterbacking the most famous football team on the planet and doing it decently at the very least. I don't know. I just feel like it's really cool. Like, that kind of just struck me on Sunday night as I was watching the end of that game.
Oh yeah. Like, years from now, he's going to look back and be like, oh my God, I was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys on, you know, Sunday night football with hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people watching. So,
yeah.
And just think about where he came from. Like, you know, we're not very good at math, but 7-8 years ago, he's flamed out of the minors, his arm shot from throwing pitches, and he's walking on to a school in Stillwater to play football, and they run this spread option where the quarterback runs a lot. So he's like, I'm probably never going to play, but I guess I'll hang out in Stillwater a little bit. Alex Cates in front of me. I'm never going to play. And now he's the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. That's pretty cool.
I think one of the great what ifs, and it's not
a good one.
Well, it's not that plausible, but what if Brandon Weeden goes to OU instead of OSU?
Didn't he say that he wanted to?
I think so, and I think a lot of it had to do with
the offense, probably.
Well, but also you had Bradford and Landry, and you had some dudes in Norman that it was kind of obvious, like, probably not going to play ahead of those guys, you know?
Yeah.
And that wasn't necessarily I guess the better what if would be, what if Landry Jones had gone not to OU, and then, like, the chain of events that would have led Weeden to go in there.
That would have been pretty crazy.
Yeah.
He would have fit that offense real well. They were running the same thing, so.
Yeah.
Because when he got to OSU, like, they had Zach Robinson running around, you know, running the football. That's why he didn't play.
I know.
That's probably why he didn't practice well.
And then they brought in Dana because
they had Weeden.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember when we brought this up with Zach, the conspiracy theory about Alex Cates starting over Weeden. I meant to bring it up with Zach, but come on, man. Those orange and white spring games. Even in that offense, Weeden outplayed Cate off the field in those games. Like, there was even he even had a rushing touchdown. I remember it like it was yesterday. He scored, and his helmet popped off. Weeden did. And he ran like 10 yards for a touchdown. And I was like, how is this guy behind Alex Cate? Alex Cate, like, had a fumble in the end zone. The defense scored. Like, you could see even in those spring game scenarios how much better Weeden was. Now, those are more game-like, and maybe that goes back to what Robinson was saying, that he didn't practice well. But
yeah.
I could tell all along. I was right all along.
Last question, then we'll go. Do you agree with Barry Trammell that Bedlam is bigger than the Red River rivalry now?
I don't know. I mean, I go back and forth. I mean, right now, yes, obviously. I would say yes. Since the Big 12 has been formed, okay, let's rephrase that. Since 2008, yes, it has been, and it still is, and it will be for quite some time. OU fans don't want to admit that. Texas is like their rival they grew up with, but God, it's so hard to say that, Kyle. What do you think? I'm riding the fence here. I don't know. What do you think?
I think the delineation needs to come with
the what? Hold on, what?
Hey, I don't do math, but we can do.
Did you just drop a delineation on
yeah,
me?
I think the delineation needs to come with Bedlam is more exciting, and it has been for a long time. Not a long time. It has been for almost a decade, I think. I don't know that it's bigger, but it's more fun. Like, some of those Texas OU games are just terrible. Like, they're not very good. I mean, even with some of the better teams you've had. And so when you couple that with the fact that Bedlam comes in November, I think it feels bigger, but I don't think that it actually is. I think when everybody's good, like, let's say OU, Texas, and OSU are all the same, they're all good. I think Texas OU is still clearly bigger, and probably I said twice as big.
It's more relevant for sure. Bedlam is. Now.
Yeah, and it's more fun. Like, think about the games that those two teams have played over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, even back when OU was winning 20 in a row or whatever it was, back in the 80s, they played some thrillers. You know, it's always been a pretty exciting game. Now, part of it, too, is OU's dominated the series. I mean, it's still a rivalry, I guess, but OU has dominated, whereas Texas is more even with them.
Yeah, that's true. And part of me is like, I'm a little biased towards those Bedlam games, both because Oklahoma State's playing in them, but also because, like I said, they're usually night games. They come late in the season with a lot on the line. The Texas OU game, it's always at 11 a.m. It's at the fair. It's in early October. It just doesn't – I don't know. It doesn't resonate as much.
I agree with that. And where I will probably say OSU, because I've been there when OU won at the last second in Stillwater and in Norman. They celebrated like they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
OU fans celebrated like they won the Super Bowl. So anytime they try and say, oh, you're just little brother, you're not even a rival, come on. Like Mike Stoops was doing cartwheels on Owen Field. He was so happy they won.
Was he really? Like literally?
Not literally, figuratively. He was just running around like a wild man.
That would be incredible.
Maybe he did pull off a cartwheel. I didn't see it, though. But just for instance, just look at the way they celebrate. Like that game means a lot to both sides, and it's the more relevant rivalry for sure right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. When Bradford and McCoy were taking the field in the Cotton Bowl, you have a hard time convincing me that OSU was the bigger rival.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. By the way, I don't envy you for having to say Red River rivalry on air over the next week. How do you do that?
I view it as like a challenge. I kind of enjoy it. I enjoy the thrill of, as I started, I was like, is this going to come out right? It did, yes. But now you can kind of cop out and say the Red River shootout, or I guess they outlawed that because it's too violent, the PC world we live in. It's the Red River Showdown now.
Okay.
You can cop out if you're not feeling it. So if you're not feeling on your A game.
I'm three monikers behind on the
Red River rivalry. I'm ready.
Seems like a good place to end.
Okay.
Okay. We will talk on, I guess, Thursday, and hopefully have a guest this week.
Sounds good. Yeah. We have to get OKC Dave on line one if our guest drops out again.
I hate asking, like, hey, OKC Dave, you want to be our backup guest in case?
No, we need to have him on as the prime guest for sure.
Yes, we will. We will.
Hopefully he won't mock us too bad for our
match. We need to talk OSU basketball on Thursday, too. I saw some Travis Ford quotes that are going to just – Well, I'll just
–
Do
we have to?
I'll give you one of them right now, and I just want to hear your response. He said, I don't know who's going to start besides Phil Forte, and I don't know where any of our scoring is going to come from. That's my number one priority right now.
It's only October. I might want to figure that out. It sounds to me like they're going to be running the Keaton Page offense with Forte.
Literally wrote that this morning, so we're on the same, we're on the same page. No pun intended.
Talk to you then, man.
Okay, talk to you later, Carson.
See ya.
Bye.